Hey, listeners, we're nearing the end of our 15th anniversary fundraising campaign, and we need your help to meet our goal. This campaign offers you a chance to win a unique food and music experience in one of the most exciting cities in America. Here's how it works. Donate to HRN and you'll be entered to win dinner for two and two tickets to a concert in one of eight amazing cities: New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Nashville, Las Vegas, Charleston, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and Asheville. All donations support our work educating food system storytellers. And when you donate, you can choose one of those cities and you'll be entered to win dinner and two tickets to a show. So help us reach our goal and enter to win dinner and a show in the city of your choice. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15. Thank you.
Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit techserve.com. You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. That was just Small Black, Free at Dawn, off their new album. They are packed into the studio right now. We are all awaiting pizza and their music, and it's going to be great. Guys, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Yo.
So they're going to be joining us in the second half. Well, they'll probably be joining us in the first half as well. We have Ben Scora in from Crime Group Hospitality, who will be making us some cocktails today. On this, I think this is the only sunny day we're going to get for the next week. Bit of a washout weekend. Well, anyway, Ben, welcome to Snacky Tunes. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I am. I'm good. I'm
cool.
Good. I'm happy to be seeing a bunch of different liquors here in front of us. So, Ben, for those who don't know who you are, I know that you are the beverage director at Crown Group Hospitality, but you're a man of many titles, aren't you?
Is that what they told you?
I've
been living here for like 10 years in New York from London.
Where in London are you from?
Well, I'm actually from Manchester, okay. Which is North England.
Yeah.
We had some pretty cool bands from Manchester, right?
Yeah, one or two bands have come out of Manchester.
But I moved to London, then I moved to New York like 10 years ago and been immersed in the alcohol business.
How did you get your start in the cocktail scene?
When I finished school, I moved to London. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so I started working in a bar and thought that it would be cool to make interesting cocktails and to do something fun rather than just making drinks that were on the menu. So I just kind of got interested in mixing different flavors and different combinations of citrus and alcohol, and it was kind of fun and cool. And I came to New York and there was a lot of people doing that at the time here, and
I mean, the cocktail scene in the last 10 years has blown up, changed dramatically,
yeah,
become its own. I don't even think you really call it a movement anymore. It's a thing now.
It's a thing, and yeah, people expect it when they come to bars that they're going to have nice drinks, and we have this amazing community of bartenders all over the world, and we're kind of all buddies. It's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome.
Is it as communal as one would like to believe it is? Like, is it? I mean, how do I put this? A lot of big personalities, a lot of alcohol. Over the years, it's going to get a little messy at times, right?
Yeah, it gets messy all the time, actually. But you kind of have your friends, you have the people you hang out with, you have the people you see a lot all the time. You have all the girls. And then obviously you have people you don't want to see, and you have some worse times, but all in all, it's a pretty amazing industry, and considering the amount of partying we do and the amount of hours we put in, I think it's pretty amazing.
Now, what do you love about the whole cocktail culture, and what do you think that your unique point of view is on it?
I love the fact that there's so many people doing it, and everyone has their own perspectives and their own ideas, and the last couple of years, there's just some amazing products coming out and some amazing new kind of trends and fashions. I kind of like using seasonal, fresh, local stuff. So going to the farmer's market, picking up some local ingredients and turning it into something fresh and delicious and simple.
So you're inspired by what's being grown, the food around you.
Yeah, and especially this time of year.
Yeah.
It's just starting to explode. And the farmer's market yesterday was looking... Oh, sorry, Saturday was looking amazing, and
I know that for so many chefs that ramps is really the first signifier of the spring. What's the ingredient for the cocktail people?
Well, I actually had a ramp martini a couple of weeks ago at Saxon and Parole, which is pretty amazing.
I've had the pickle ramp one over at the Dutch.
Yeah, it's actually Naren Young. It's actually his... He used to work at the Dutch.
Oh, okay.
Now he runs Saxon, so it's... So,
same drink.
Yeah, same drink.
Is it like mint or is it a more herb or is it like a more fruit type of ingredient?
I mean, I love the Maya lemons when they start coming out.
Oh yeah.
I do a lot of stuff with Maya lemons. They kind of have that sourness of a regular lemon, but they also have this beautiful sherbety sweetness of kind of spring and summer.
So, I remember the first time I heard your name was back in 2009 when GQ named you the most inspired bartender.
Yeah.
What does one need to do to claim that title?
We had a competition here in New York, and then we went to Vegas, and we had a competition in Vegas, just making lots of different drinks, seeing how fast we could do it, putting different ingredients together, secret ingredients, time challenges, endurance, drinking lots of tequila.
Oh, okay.
Seeing who could keep up.
Make you stay up for a day and
yeah.
cocktails.
A week in Vegas.
So I see that you have some spirits in front of us. What did you bring with us today?
So we're going to make a couple of drinks. So we're kind of consulting on this brand right now. It's called Bleecker Street.
Okay.
So we're making it here in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making it from wheat. It's a totally organic product. We got the USDA to put their stamp on it.
Is that not a normal thing?
I mean, there are a bunch of organic vodkas out there. There's not that many, but we wanted to do something kind of local and organic, so we went down that route, and the vodka turned out really, really delicious. We're super happy with it.
So you're going to be making this as what, the lion's paw, right?
Yes, we're going to do something real simple. So we're going to use the vodka, a little bit of freshly pressed cucumber juice, a little yuzu, which is kind of a Japanese citrus. Yeah, it's kind of like similar to a grapefruit and a lime mixed together. And then a little agave just to balance out that sourness from the yuzu. So just real simple, fresh for the summer.
And then what's the other one? I see tequila.
And then this beautiful, gorgeous bottle is La Classe Azul. It's a...
It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's a tequila, Highlands of Mexico. All the bottles are beautifully hand-painted. And they all have this like amazing agave silver badge on them. So with this is a reposado, so it's been aged for a few months. It's super rich and delicious. We're going to put a little bit of mezcal.
Okay.
And some really spicy Jamaican jerk bitters.
Ooh.
And we're going to make a little kind of old-fashioned with it. We're going to call it Shakespeare's Sister.
All right. So how about this? We're going to play a song. You're going to mix it up.
You know that, right? It's named after one of my favorite songs by the Smiths.
Of course. Well, beautiful. We're going to get back. We'll talk about some cocktail drinking music when we come back. And a small black, you'll get to drink all the cocktails that he makes up.
Awesome. Sweet.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, heal
Oh man, that is just that's some summer heat right there. So we are mixing up with Ben Score from the Crown Group Hospitality. Ben, which drink are you doing first?
So we're gonna do the Lion's Paw first.
Okay, awesome. And remind us what's in the Lion's Paw.
So we have some Bleecker Street vodka.
Okay.
A little yuzu.
All right.
Some fresh cucumber juice, and a little agave.
Man, that is just, that's summertime. So,
super fresh.
Yeah. You guys excited? So being from London.
Uh-huh.
Or being from Whoops. That's me. So being from Manchester, have you seen the trend of cocktails sort of grow and rise at the same time across the pond? Or is it like a similar sort of trajectory?
Well, I think in Manchester it's pretty badass right now, in terms of where they are with cocktails. In London, they're kind of like, whereas, you know, New York's very like traditional cocktails, old fashions, Manhattans.
Yeah, yeah.
London's a little bit more trying to develop their own kind of thing, whereas New York, we're trying to kind of do what they did back in olden days. In London, very forward thinking. So it's different kind of drinks, but it's equally as much passion and dedication and hard work.
You want to shake it up?
So we're going to shake this up.
I see a lot of smiles. Now, I always got to ask, I've seen different mixologists shake in different ways.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a different shake for different drinks, or is it just... It's all the same shake, just a different way you do it.
For me, just really hard. You really want to get the drink super cold and get a really nice dilution in the drink.
Beautiful.
So,
all right.
Not too much that you're going to dilute it too much, but enough that it's going to dilute a little bit and mix everything together super good, and hopefully it's going to taste delicious. Right. We'll see. And there's a couple there for you guys as well.
Here we go. Cheers, boys. Yeah. It's summer, right? Do you have a toast?
To getting drunk all summer and
yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Well, that's good. Well, that cucumber really comes through. That is wow. Yeah, that's fresh.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That is fresh and dangerous. Delicious. Where's your favorite place to drink in summer in New York? Both legally and illegally.
It's really good.
Oh, I love being on the beach, say, like, down ditch plains with a really cold beer and a cold bottle of tequila. There's nothing better than that. And legally, you know what's a really cool bar? The bar right on the West Side Highway, by the Spotted Pig guys.
Oh.
It's kind of all tiki.
I'm blanking on it.
The Rusty Nut.
The Rusty Nut.
Yeah.
That place is great.
And when you go there at like 4 o'clock when the sun's just kind of up and shines in, and it's pretty amazing.
So, summer cocktail drinking music, what do you like?
Good beats. Did you hear Daft Punk's new album? I think it came out today.
Yes. That's actually one of... I probably would be the summer album.
Cut Copy.
Cut Copy's great.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Is it a little bit more more mellow in the winter, though? What do you guys like to drink to and listen to?
In the summer?
Yeah.
I get deep on some dub.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Just let the sunset and listen to some dub?
Yeah, it just feels right most of the time.
It really does. And then, Ben, so tell me a little bit about Crown Group Hospitality.
So we started 3 years ago last week. So
wow.
We have...
Happy birthday.
Yeah. So the owners are Sean Legato and John DeLucci. They have The Lion, which is in the West Village on West 9th Street. It's a beautiful, amazing kind of American-style restaurant with great cocktails, great food, great wine. And then we opened a sports bar called The Windsor, which is on West 4th, which is totally cool. I go and hang out there every night after work and drink tequila and beer. Then we opened Crown, which is on 81st and Madison, which is a little bit more kind of fine dining, right in the Upper East Side. Have you ever been up there?
No, I don't make it.
Have you been to the Met?
I've been to the Met.
So it's right by the Met.
Oh, so well, I should have known.
Yeah, if you're ever at the Met, come and have an amazing cocktail, and we have the most beautiful fresh pasta there. It's delicious.
Oh, I wish I went to the punk exhibit the other week. I should have gone.
Yeah, we're right on 81st next to the Met. And then we just opened Bill's Food and Drink, which is
got a lot of good press on that one.
Midtown, yeah, on 54th and Madison. So it's the old Bill's Gay 90 space.
Yeah.
And
that's what you got to love about New York, about where they'll take over the old and keep some of the old, but give it some of the new.
Yeah, we did this amazing restoration, kept it really old school. We brought back a lot of the old things. Like, we brought back the old piano player that was playing there for 15 years. And we're trying to kind of turn it into that staple Midtown New York bar where you go and have a whiskey and a beer after work and dance to some old music and sing along to the piano.
There are few greater things after putting in a long day of work than just having that first whiskey and beer.
Mm-hmm.
When you're like, I've done the work for the day, I'm just going to knock off for a little bit before you got to go out, before it's got to get, you know, you switch in late night mode, just that sort of just...
Well, it's amazing being in Midtown and kind of watching shows like Mad Men, and then when you think that it doesn't really happen anymore, there's still the guys that come in and have 3 martinis at lunch and go back to the office and then come back to the bar 3 hours later and stay there from 6 until 12 o'clock at night.
It's amazing. Those guys, they got, I, you know, every time I think that I can actually put them down, I meet a professional drinker and I go, I'm not that good. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on this show.
Thank you.
Where can people find out about Bleecker?
Watch the space. Bleecker Street's coming soon. I'm probably going to launch in 2 months. Okay. So maybe we'll come back and give you guys some bottles.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I see Joe nodding his head. Yeah? And then we got Small Lot coming up next. Here you go on Snacky Tunes.
Same as you,
don't know why. But if she asks you, then tell no one the truth.
Thank you once again to Ben, who made us the Shakespeare sister shots.
That was no joke.
Those jerk bitters. They got... Yeah. Oh, man.
I never heard of that before. I want to get into that.
Jamaican bitters. Well, I'm looking at four proud fathers of their new baby. Is an album a girl or... It's a girl, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Sure?
I think this yeah. One, yeah.
So, 6 days old. Have you guys slept? How's she doing? She all right? She crying a lot?
Keeps us up at night.
Yeah.
Just give her a little whiskey every night, and then she goes right out.
Yeah. So, Limits of Desire is out. Super excited. How do you guys feel about it?
I feel great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on it, but it was worth it, and I don't know, we're really proud of it.
What's it like to sit down and write an album these days and put it out in the crazy world that is the music industry?
It's an interesting question. I don't know. It's like something like a release date is such a weird thing now because the album's streaming a week before.
Right.
People have stolen it, you know, a couple of weeks before that. So.
Oh, really? Like, were you guys hacked?
Yeah. I mean, I think it got leaked like maybe 2 weeks before, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, no. That's about the best you can hope for. So.
How does it feel to see a leak of your album?
Cool.
Yeah.
Because people care enough that they're gonna
they're looking
steal
for it.
It.
Yeah,
it's fine. You know, I think everybody steals music. It's just the reality of things. You pay for what you can afford. So
yeah,
everybody that hears our band is, you know, we're lucky for them to check it out.
So give us a quick history of the band. How'd you guys all meet?
Ryan and I are from Long Island,
Strong Island.
Yeah, and we're friends from back then.
Nice run in the cup this year. First round, not bad.
Oh, the Islanders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The soon-to-be Brooklyn Islanders.
No.
Did that get nixed?
It's not Brooklyn. They're staying... They're staying Long Island. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay. New York Islanders. Anyway, so you guys met in Long Island.
Yeah. And then Jeff and Juan are friends from college, and then we kind of buddied up and started the band.
Supergroup?
Yeah.
And what year was that?
2009.
Okay. So it's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. 4 years, you guys still all friends?
Yeah. Tour will makes everybody crazy, but then we chill out for a week and become friends again.
That's because tour isn't natural. Like, tours is
no.
The most unnatural. We're going to put you in a van. We're going to give you no sleep. And yeah. It's like
lots of stress.
Lots of stress.
Yeah, everybody has had their meltdowns. So just you know what? Try to manage them.
I wouldn't trust a guy or a girl in a band on a tour who didn't have a meltdown. Because then you're like, oh, this person's fucking crazy. And they're
actually, this guy, Ryan, I can't... Maybe Ryan hasn't had a meltdown.
Really?
He's a real even keel.
I guess not.
He's
I guess
a good
I'm
one
totally
to have
nuts.
Around, because when you're acting like a nut, you just look at Ryan, he's very sensible and calm. And then you feel bad about yourself.
What's the food sitch on the road?
We don't play around. We eat real well.
Really?
We don't eat crap. We're super into Yelp, and like, we'll... When we're on like a long drive, we plot out all the cities that are on the route, and we'll call an order in advance and pick it up on the way.
Oh, you're no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not eating.
We try not to do
crap.
This, you know, gas station shit.
The 99-cent burrito.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because really, when you're on a 10-hour drive, the only thing to look forward to is something good to eat. So,
what's some of your favorite places?
Like cities or restaurants?
Hit me with both.
We've had really good luck in Phoenix.
Have you gone to America's Best Tacos near the airport?
No, but I want to.
We'll trade info. They do this carne asada, and they just put it in eight different types of, like,
whoa.
Wraps.
That sounds really good. We have to do that. We went to this place called Fez, which is like a sandwich joint, and Triple H from WWF was there.
Oh, yeah. Fez and Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yeah. That... Some other band was on the show talking about Fez.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's... I think there are just communication between bands. I mean, look, you're all looking for good food at a certain price point in certain towns.
Yeah.
You're going to come across the same thing.
It's true. That place has been a go-to. What was the name of that diner we ate at in Denver? Yeah. Something with an S. I wish I knew the name. That food was delicious. Really good fried chicken.
All right, so let's do... I'll look it up. We'll see if we can find it. You said S Diner, Colorado?
We'll find it, yeah.
Is it in Denver? All right, we'll see if we can find a thing. So you guys going to rip a song for us?
Yeah, let's do it.
What song are you playing first?
The song is called No Stranger.
All right, here we go. Small Black, New Dads of the new album. Their little baby girl, No Strangers, here on Snacky Tunes.
No.
that's a summer jam.
Thanks.
That's a straight up summer jam. So what's the writing process for you guys? Is you know, I heard you when you guys were warming up before the show started, there was definitely a little bit of jam going on. You guys jam it out, and then you figure out the songs from there?
We do some jamming.
Yeah?
It's really different song to song. Some are from jams. Some are from a song somebody brings to the band, and then we kind of rework around all the different elements. I think for this record, songs didn't really become contenders for the record until they had a hook that we thought was good and that we latched onto. So I think that was the main criteria as far as how we followed through and finished things.
When I think one of the things that I like now, or when you can definitely tell that a band wrote an album and not just a single, and you guys put out an actual album. So what's it like when you're structuring, not just going for one song, but a whole start to finish and placement and things like that? I just was reading about the Breeders' 20th anniversary of The Last Splash, and they're like talking about song placement and structure and the way it goes, and I feel that that's a lost art.
Yeah, I would say with this record, like Free at Dawn, the first track was definitely designed as an intro track, and the last track, Outskirts, is definitely was always designed to be the ending. So we had that in mind, and then I think the rest, things start to, as you get closer with the mix, they start to really show their head as to where they belong in the record and what role they serve. You know, there's a couple of songs that we cut from the record that I think are really good that just weren't, you know, they didn't serve the proper role in the record.
And do those become 7 inches, or what do you do with those?
We just put the record out, so we're still figuring out what to do. But yeah, 7 inches are great. EPs, you know, it's kind of what...
You know, you got to respect Record Store Day for, I think, breathing life back into the 7-inch and making it like a new commodity. Mm-hmm. I feel for a few years that was not a thing. And, you know, the digital download or, like, the free song, but there's something nice about having it be tangible, even if it's 200 copies, and you release it online.
No, I love 7-inches. I think that's probably the music form I buy the most, just because it's $5 or $6. It's a nice way to support the band. You get the cool art. I mean, I like the general size of a 7-inch. It looks great. And I don't know. It's usually got some track that's not as easy to find on the net.
Yeah?
On the B-side.
Do you find that people aren't ripping 7-inches as much as they are albums?
I mean, they do. I mean, everything eventually ends up on YouTube. But I think it's sometimes harder to find, like, that nice MP3 or something that you want to listen to.
Yeah. What's your most prized 7-inch?
Yeah, Juan's brother is like a deep 80s DJ. So
musical youth.
Yeah, I'm El DeBarge 7-inch.
Past the Dutchie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
really?
That's great.
That's the summer jam. That's like
There's your dub right there.
Yeah. Pop, but the jam. Kid vocal, when you can get away with it, is really great.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of fun. I also like playing 7-inch. I mean, DJing is fun.
Yeah,
I usually just bring out the computer and do the whole Serato thing, but the 7-inch thing is fun. You're really working, especially with, you know, those are 2-3 minute songs, and you're sweating. And
you better have those records organized, or you're gonna be playing some trash.
Oh my god, nothing is shorter than when you don't have the next song queued up, or longer than when you played the wrong song.
Yeah, no,
you can't. Ouch. you can't get out of a 7-inch. There's no drag and drop a new song.
Nah.
No, you gotta let that bomb play out.
Now, are you guys doing any barbecues this summer? Are you guys cooking or
Juan,
any barbecue?
Juan is the guy. He's a deep barbecuer.
Juan, what you got?
He's our foodie guy. He's the go-to.
I'm from Argentina, so we have asado down there.
Oh,
it's very, very different style than
that's
here.
That's like the big flame. That's
And it's every house has basically like a clay giant barbecue built into the backyard. There's a joke in Argentina that every house starts with the barbecue and then builds outward from there.
Well, we got the barbecue. We're thinking about building a house around it, right?
That's pretty much Argentina, and it's just incredible, the meat quality. It's lean but very flavorful down there, and the cows are very healthy. Just incredible food. And produce, it's kind of like anything that you would have to go out of your way to get here, organic, it's just kind of regular there. So that's kind of the best, because you don't feel like you're doing gourmet cooking. You're just doing regular cooking, but it's like...
Well, there was a time when regular cooking was just gourmet.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
What do you do in Brooklyn? Because I am assuming...
I would love to... I've been trying to think about importing the grill. It's like a V-shaped grill because it catches the fat, doesn't let the fat drip and smoke up into the meat. So I'm thinking about importing one of those and building one. We're also talking about doing a smoker in the backyard this summer, smoking some whole chickens.
That's nice.
Yeah. We're not playing around.
No.
We're into it. It's,
I think the backyard Brooklyn barbecue scene, people don't come here to play.
No.
You know,
it's, everyone's a foodie now.
You better not show you with some pre-made patties.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Like,
I was in the bodega yesterday, and I saw those pre-wrapped cheeseburgers. And I was like,
Unnecessary. Unnecessary.
Unnecessary. All right, enough about food. Let's do another song. We'll talk about food all day. What do we got next?
The song's called Sophie.
Okay, here we go. Small Black Sophie here live on Snacky Tunes. So how would you best describe your music?
Oh, man.
I'm kidding. I'm not going to ask you music questions like that. Let's get back to the food. So what is your favorite time of the year to eat? Are you guys barbecue men, or are you guys actually, are you guys like winter soup dudes or things like that? Come on in. You're the food guy. Don't stand in the corner.
Yeah.
Just over there.
I just like to eat fried chicken all the time.
You know, there was a good article in the Times last week about how to fry chicken and how if it's not deep fried, it's not that bad for you.
If it's not deep fried, it's not that bad for you? I thought if you had the temperature hot enough, the fat didn't get in.
Yeah.
And it's kind of okay.
It's kind of okay. Like, the deep fried stuff that you get at KFC, that's bad for you.
That's bad.
But but the cast iron 2-inch skillet stuff is not as bad for you. And I'm just going to... And guess what? If I read that wrong, I'm just going to believe that it's not that bad for me.
Keep telling me that.
Right?
Keep telling me that.
So we learned today that Jamaican bitters are awesome and fried chicken is a health food.
It's absolutely a health food. I read the other day that I was looking for recipes to make up pudding, caramel pudding, and this one was like, this is really healthy, low in fat, high in calcium and protein. I was like, all right, I'll just make some caramel pudding.
You know, look,
why not?
I think the biggest issue is processed food.
Yeah,
I think if you can just eat good ingredients, like, okay, this pizza that we're eating, probably not every day, but essentially it's just bread and sauce and
good cheese.
Good cheese.
Yeah, yeah. I'm reading this Joseph Mitchell book, and this one section is all about the Fulton Fish Market, and there's this big section that he hangs out with this 93-year-old guy who's pretty much only eaten seafood his whole life.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he goes into this big, and this is like in the 40s, and he goes off on like bread you'd get at the supermarket or whatever you got it there, and said he would never eat it, and that it's trash. And this guy seemed like was the first person that was completely against processed foods, and I think he lived to like be 100.
It's really everything now is just going back to the way things were before all the processing.
Trying to,
like, the whole, like, dry-aged steak thing. It's like every steak used to be dry-aged.
Yeah.
That was the way you did it, and now it's, like, the special thing. We actually dry-age our own steaks at home, too, which is nice.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. We messed with that. We've definitely done that.
What's
a couple porterhouses.
What's the longest you let a steak go?
I just go, like, 2 or 3 days tops.
Okay.
And then it starts to dry out, and then I do the Heston Blumenthal method of just, like, hot sear, 15 seconds, flip for 2 minutes, done.
Really?
Flip every 15 seconds. It never lets either side cool down, so it builds a nice crust, gets it nice and medium.
I usually just do like a two-minute. You know, Carlo at Blanca does an 85-day steak.
Get out of here.
85. It's like
jerky by the end, but it's like...
No, it's got like a funky blue cheese moldy...
Ooh, delicious.
Yeah.
Just cut that right off.
You can't be afraid of the funk in both music and steak, you know?
No, certainly not.
So what's the plans for you guys? Tour coming?
Yeah, we start tour on May 29th in Boston, and then we come back and wrap up in New York at Music Hall of Williamsburg on the 30th of June.
Oh, so you guys are out for a month.
Yeah, and then we'll be out again.
So what, you going north and around?
Circle, yeah.
Circle. One of my favorite burrito places is up in Boston. You guys go to Anna's Taqueria?
Ooh, oh, I have been there. It's incredible. The burrito there. I had it like a decade ago, so I don't know if it's still the same, but oh my God. Do you know the Soul Clap guys?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good friends with Charlie from growing up.
Yeah.
Family friends, so we used to go there.
Oh, man, it's good.
Up in Boston.
That was like the first mission style, like steamed cheese type of burrito quesadilla I've ever had. Go there.
Yeah, we
should. It's good.
That's on the list.
Yeah. So you guys are just doing all North America? You guys dip into Canada?
Yeah, we're doing Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver. Toronto's got great food, and Montreal, too.
That's my hometown. It's my dad's from.
Where's Joe Beef at? Is that in
Montreal?
Montreal, yeah.
Dude, call him so you can get a res.
I know, right?
Seriously.
That'd be amazing. Yo, our band loves your restaurant.
Our band loves your restaurant.
If you're listening right now, Joe Beef, guys, we'll definitely come check it out.
Just go to Schwartz's or go to Fairmont Bagels or things like that. Just get some of that dirty poutine, right?
Totally.
So I want to thank you guys coming on. What's all the nuts and bolts? Where can people buy the album?
You can just get it at our website, small-black.com, or just grab it from Jag Jaguar or iTunes, Amazon. It's on all those various places.
And can people follow the tour on Twitter, Instagram? What are those?
Yeah. Facebook. It's pretty easy to find if you just Google Small Black. Small BLK is the Twitter handle. So.
And where's the name from?
I moved to Portland on a whim once, and I was living in this really sort of screwed-up house, and there was a pack of raccoons that lived in the attic.
Okay.
And we named them all, and one of them was named Small Black, and that's what we named. That was the name of the band.
Interesting. Well, shout out to Lissa. Lissa, what do you got?
Tumblr.
Oh, the Tumblr.
Oh, Tumblr, yeah. Smallblack.tumblr.com. I love Tumblr.
Yeah, Tumblr.
Which just got bought by Yahoo today for $1 billion.
Really? Wow. That's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's really the way to make money.
I guarantee you Tumblr's sabering champagne bottles right now. I think that's
hey,
what you
Tumblr
do.
Tumblr guys. We love you guys.
I think that's what happens when you sell for like $1 billion. I think that's what Instagram did. They just saber. They get those like big, comically sized magnums.
The Chandon, like the Magnum. Like,
yes, the Chandons. Yeah. Which are crazy because they're like $100,000. It's like I don't know.
We drink that sometimes after shows.
Oh, yeah?
Just get a novelty, like human-sized bottle.
And just saber it with one of the guitars?
Sure.
Awesome. All right, so what's the last song we're going to get?
We're going to do Oldies, Despicable Dogs.
Awesome. Well, Small Black, Ben, everybody, thank you so much. We will be off next week because we will be enjoying a day of barbecue.
No doubt.
You guys got barbecue plans for Memorial Day?
Oh, yeah.
We're
working on it.
Oh, you're working on it.
We're working on it.
Start aging those. Hey, man, do we get some funky steaks for next Monday?
Steak and shrimp. Yeah, that's what we're going to
do.
I'll
do the 80
day. 85.
85 day.
I know, right?
That's really, really
that's
bold.
Dedication.
Yeah.
It scares me, but obviously, I don't know.
It's fine. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Small Black, Snacky Tunes. See you in 2 weeks. Thanks, guys.
Do it without me, do it when it's wrong.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.